Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! So it begins. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go to jump into the chat room, among other things, where Third Stage Guild Navigator Sparky has folded space to the man cave this evening. And he's joined this evening early on at the beginning of the program by a jug of punch. We are underway. And I'm waiting for Sparky to tell me whether or not the horn stream is back in my possession. A couple of seconds ago, he said Rick Smith is still going. I had a nice text from our buddy Lee, who is playing with Choctaw Wildfire. They've got a gig in New Orleans this weekend. And Lee says, I'll be your embedded food porn correspondent at least through Saturday. I've already been informed that the I-10 exit 97 Scott, Louisiana, 1 mile north of the highway, the Best Stop supermarket, Boudin balls that will kick your taste buds in the nads, 3 for $2.25 regular, or 3 for $3.25 with pepper jack. Says, holy Christ, that's good eating. P.S. The crackling is pretty damn good, too. So yeah, I'd say we're off and running on some food porn. Yum, just yum. Oh, by the way, thanks very kindly to Dan at the close of the program just last night. We wound up not a $160 down, but $140 away from our fundraising goal. So thank you very kindly, Dan. So that means our fundraising goal for this evening is $340. That would be 10 at 34, 20 at 17, 40 at 850, 80 at 4.25. Oh, I do so love me some Cyphron. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be your gazintas there, wouldn't it? Yeah. Anyway, the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Jump right in and help out, especially if you haven't in a while. This is a community effort. That's the only way this little thing keeps going and going and going. Hopefully the stream will pick up here in a moment. Sparky just told me Rick has gone to silence. Crossing my fingers at 4 minutes past the hour. Mm-hmm.
Waiting.
I don't know, maybe the flux capacitor is screwed up. And there's Waggy in the chat room. Good evening, Waggy. It is, by the way, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And that, of course, means that we will be celebrating this evening. Well, celebrating is not exactly the right word now, is it? We will be at least noting some monumental efforts at right-wing intellectualizing. And, of course, we've got all kinds of Benghazi deliciousness to play with. Although I figure that's probably been covered to death in other radio programs. But if you want to talk about it, we can. Mm-hmm. We certainly can. Okay, I'm waiting to see if we're sending out a stream. Anything? Just a minute. All right, time out. Stand by. Let me see what I can do. There's no doubt but that we are sending. Mm-hmm. Good evening, Texas T, wandering into the chat room. Sorry for the delay. Okay, so we will take the intro to the program as read. It is 11 minutes past the hour. I just got hold of Rick Smith, and he got everything shot. Shut down. So let's try this again, and hopefully, I just got a note from Sylvia. Thank you, Sylvia, for letting me know. Hopefully, you're hearing the stream now. Yay. Yeah, it's up. Yeah, it's a little frustrating, but you know what? It's only 11 minutes of the program or so. Hopefully, we'll be able to overcome the inherent frustration. Well, yay, thank you. Yes, confirmation that we're on. Wow. No, so it's, like I said, our fundraising goal for the evening, and for you podcast listeners, I apologize, but got to go over this again. Thanks to Dan, our fundraising goal went from 160 to 140 at the end of the program last night. So tonight's goal for this Thorn in the Side Thursday is $340. And, yeah, there we go again. That's one at 340, two at 170, four at 85, eight at 4250, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. So if you want to help out, go to the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Uh-huh. And there you will find the button and the stuff to fill out, and you can leave blank the one about what it is you do, how much you make, and what it is you do down to Wally's service station there in Mayberry. Mm-hmm. Just get to the next screen about PayPal, credit cards, et cetera, things like that. Okay, cool. Yeah, if you prefer the U.S. mail service, by the way, of course, that's checks and money orders made payable, not to Bob Kincaid, but to the Horn. To the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WB 25801. Okie doke. So that takes care of that portion, and hopefully the fundraising thing will take care of itself, and I don't have to mention it too much more because, well, you know, I despise it. Thorn in the Side Thursday. Yeah, that's where we were, and we did indeed have lots of chewy Benghazi deliciousness. It got a little heated there as things broke up for lunch. Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton seemed to have no trouble dealing with. But if she had gone in and had little baby Jesus with her, it would not have made any difference. These right-wing Republicans, there's no search for truth here. There's no inquiry. It's nothing but a political dog and pony show. As one of the members pointed out from the minority side of the hearing, nobody smeared Ronald Reagan after he got 200 plus Marines killed at the barracks in Beirut. Nobody did that. But there's a different set of rules if you're a Democrat, and particularly if you're a Democrat named Clinton. Let's just check in with some of the fur that flew around the luncheon break.
Inaccurate statements over the past month as you have tried to defend against multiple Republican admissions that the Select Committee has been wasting millions of tax dollars to damage Secretary Clinton's bid for president. On Sunday, you made another inaccurate statement during your appearance on Face the Nation, and it's being taken up here, and this is the relevance. Here's what you said, and I quote, "There are other folks who may have equities in her emails, and there may be other entities who are evaluating her emails. But my interest in them is solely made for that I get everything I'm entitled to so that I can do my job. The rest of it, classification, Clinton Foundation, you name it, I have zero interest in it, which is why you haven't seen me send a subpoena related to it or interview a single person other than Brian Pagliano, because I need to know that the record is complete. And I'm going back to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I'm waiting on you.
I'm getting there. Mr. Chairman.
Well, we got to take a break.
Your statement was, it's not going to take long. You took up four minutes over, so let me have three.
I've let everybody go over, including you, Mr. Connor.
Thank you very much. You issued a subpoena to Sidney Blumenthal on May 19th, 2015, compelling him to appear for a deposition on June 16, 2015. You issued this subpoena unilaterally without giving the Select Committee members the opportunity to debate or vote on it. You sent two armed marshals to serve the subpoena on Mrs. Blumenthal's wife at their home without having ever sent him a request to participate voluntarily, which he would have done. Then, Mr. Chairman, you personally attended Mr. Blumenthal's deposition. You personally asked him about the Clinton Foundation, and you personally directed your staff to ask questions about the Clinton Foundation, which they did more than 50 times. Now, these facts directly contradict the statements you made on national television this last Sunday.
No, sir. With all due respect, they do not. We just heard email after email after email about Libya and Benghazi that Sidney Blumenthal sent to the Secretary of State. I don't care if he sent it by Morse code, carrier pigeon, smoke signals. The fact that he happened to send it by email is irrelevant. What is relevant is that he was sending information to the Secretary of State. That is relevant. Now, with respect to the subpoena, if he'd bothered to answer the telephone calls of our committee, he wouldn't have needed a subpoena.
Well,
Hey, time out real quick. Time out. Okay, check. Okay, time out. Yeah. When did Sidney Blumenthal become Hitler? Damn it, Gerald. Really? 6:18 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. How do you do it? Honest to God, I don't know. But really, or the devil. I don't know, Muammar Gaddafi. Secretary Clinton, you claim Chris Stevens was a friend of yours, yet you never friended him on Facebook, did you? You never included him in your Instagram, did you? Secretary Clinton, you couldn't even see your way clear to friend Ambassador Stevens on MySpace. And that's why he's dead. What kind of monster are you? You vile, hateful, liberal, female woman vagina person. God almighty. Yeah, what was it? $4.7 million for this? Really, $4.7 million. What do you reckon $4.7 million would do in a beaten and bedraggled state like almost level West by Cold Virginia, Stan, in terms of the recently discussed drug problem? Think that might provide a few beds and a few treatment centers? Think that might help a few people maybe kick the junk? But since the end of the television series MASH, if the term ferret face has fallen out of usage, I think it needs to come back, because if ever there has been a ferret face sitting in a chair in a House committee, it's Trey Gowdy. I mean, I just want somebody down at the end of that line to say, "You tell him, ferret face." I mean, where do we go to get our money back for this Congress? What a monumental, stupid waste of time. I mean, what are we going to find out next? That Senator Secretary Clinton plays Spider Solitaire? God damn, not Spider Solitaire. Who knows? Let's continue.
Happy to, but you need to make sure the entire record is correct, Mr. Cronin.
And that's exactly what I want to do.
Well, then go ahead.
I'm about to tell you. I move that we put into the record the entire transcript of Sidney Blumenthal. We're going to release the emails. Let's do the transcript. That way the world can see it.
Well, we didn't.
Uh-oh, did you catch that? I second that motion. Uh-oh. I mean, we're into some serious parliamentary procedure right now. I move, I second, so discussion, call the question, all of that stuff. Let's see how it right.
We
motion
didn't.
Has been seconded.
Well, we're not going to take that up at a hearing. We'll take that
Mr.
up
Chairman,
in a business
I've consulted
meeting.
With the parliamentarian, and they have informed us that we have a right to a recorded vote on that motion. We want,
well,
you asked for
what,
the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, that's what we want to have. Let the world see it.
Why is it that you only want Mr. Blumenthal's transcript released? Why don't you
I'd
want
like
the
to have
survivors?
All of them released.
The survivors, even their names?
Let me
you want
tell you
that?
Something. No, you
want that released?
Let me tell you something. Right now,
the only one
right
you've
now,
asked for is Sidney Blumenthal.
The
That's
only,
the only one you've asked for. That and Miss Mills.
Cheryl Mills.
That's not true.
No, that's 2 out of 54. Now, if you want to ask for some fact witnesses,
ask for a recorded vote on the Blumenthal. You said from the beginning we want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why don't we just put the entire transcript out there and let the world see it?
Well, because then they'll find out that Trey Gowdy is in fact a ferret face. That's why, Congressman Cummings. That's why. I mean, you put all the facts out there, people are going to figure out that, yeah, this is a witch hunt, and that isn't her nose, it's a false one, and they dressed her up like this. But she's a witch!
Turn poor Trey Gowdy into a ferret.
And damned if they're not. I guess if you consider the larger universe of presidential election politics, I guess this is a good thing because they're making Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton look more presidential than ever. Somewhere out there, if he can muster up the brain power for it, poor old Jebbia is... Well, you know, thanks, Trey Gowdy. Jeebus. And it was this all day. And poor old shiny ferret face Gowdy. Good God. That man is sitting up there sweating harder. I mean, just look at him. He's glowing. He's so shiny. He's sweating harder than Richard Nixon in the 1960 presidential debates. This guy knows he's a liar. This guy knows he's a poltroon.
What do you have to hide?
These are the only emails that you have released. In the fairness to Mr. Blumenthal and to the American people, in the interest of a complete record, if you're going to release his emails, release his transcript where he has a chance to give the context of those emails.
And that was Representative Adam Schiff, by the way.
Well, you keep referring to Blumenthal emails. I would hasten to remind both of you, the only reason we have Blumenthal emails is because he emailed the Secretary of State. Those are her emails. That's why they were released. They're not Blumenthal's emails, and she wanted all of her emails released. She's been saying since March, I want the entire world to see my emails. Well, Sidney Blumenthal's emails are part of that. So here's what I'll do. I'll be happy to the parliamentarian, because the parliamentarian told me that your motion actually would not be in order for a hearing. But at the latest, we'll take a vote. The first week we are back, after this week, we'll have a business meeting. We can take up Mr. Blumenthal's transcript. We can take up whatever other transcripts you want. And while we're there, we can also take up the 20-some-odd outstanding discovery requests that we have to different executive branch entities. Why don't we just take all of it up then?
Mr. Chairman, the allegations that have been made against him are refuted by his own testimony. In the interest of not having...
That's your opinion, Adam.
Well, if you disagree, then release the transcripts.
What allegation, Adam?
Why conceal the transcripts, even if the motion were not...
How is it that Ferret Face is Mr. Chairman, but Congressman Schiff is Adam? You notice that? These punk-ass Republicans have no more regard for civil governance than a hog has for ladies' lingerie. It seems pretty clear. What the hell's wrong with letting out the transcript? Why in God's name isn't the deposition transcript part of the public record anyway? When did a House Select Committee become a reiteration of a court of Star Chamber? Anybody? Because if the data's not, if the information isn't out there, it's not even anything remotely passing for just. God almighty, what an embarrassment. Honest to God, I thought at the end of it all, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton was going to say, I'm Hillary Clinton and I approve this message. Because see, they've been waiting for this moment. This is Trey Gowdy's dream. He's been masturbating with both hands over this for months. Why does he call Adam Schiff Adam? Well, Irish Dave says because calling him Jew Boy wouldn't be polite. Because, you know, that's how Trey Gowdy thinks. Good God, what a freak. And what a freak show. 8 hours of this today, and no end in sight. So, here's the very last, the last of the bickering, shall we? Or this, the last of this phase of bickering.
Allegations have been made against him are refuted by his own testimony. In the interest of not having...
That's your opinion,
well,
Adam.
Well, if you disagree, then release the transcripts. What allegation, Adam? Why conceal the transcripts, even if the motion were not in order? You have the power to release them. You have the power
I'll tell you why, because I'm not going to release one transcript of someone who knows nothing about Libya by his own admission, while people who risk their lives, you have no interest in their story getting out. You don't want the 18 DS agents. You don't want the CIA agents. The only transcripts you want released are Ms. Mills and Sidney Blumenthal.
We'll take all of this.
Well, they're the only people you happen to be smearing at the moment, ferret face. Honest to God, you'd pay money, wouldn't you? Just once to hear somebody look at him and say, "This is a smear job, ferret face." There's no professionalism left here. Trey Gowdy is not a good faith representative within the government. He's doing a job. He's a creature. He's a thing. He's a tool in every sense of the word, especially the pejorative. He's a tool of a right-wing machine. Hey, Chuck. Hey, Dave. And others, of course. A machine that has been rumbling and stumbling and bumbling along since 1992, whose sole purpose is the destruction of this woman, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Now, I'm not going to vote for her in the primary. I'm with Bernie, and I'm not leaving. But, God damn! You gotta have some sympathy for a woman who is she doesn't even have her own independent reality for them. She is their bête noire. She is the beast that stalks their dreams. She's their Freddy Krueger and Jason. And the guy with the pins in his face, all rolled into one, and the boogeyman. And $4.7 million just thrown down a rat hole to try to smear someone because her name is Clinton. That's all this is. There is no inquiry into the facts. The facts are established. Benghazi is a great big zero. It's a cipher. The lives that were lost aren't. But there's no there. We were running a CIA operation in a place that we shouldn't have been, and it got overrun. At least 235 Marines didn't die like they did in Beirut. And that wasn't one of those things just happened moments. You see, they were safely aboard aboard a naval vessel and could have gotten to anywhere, any hot spot they needed to go to at a moment's notice. Whereas being at that barracks in Beirut, they were severely constrained in their ability to respond tactically. But Ronnie Reagan wanted to, we need to show the flag, America. Mommy. And the next thing you know, they're dead. Curiously, no such godforsaken dog and pony show took place in that regard.
The only person you were interested in asking about during your entire questioning was Sidney Blumenthal. If you're so interested in him, release the transcript. You selectively released his emails. They're the only witness you've done that for. So you're asking why are we only asking for his transcript?
I'm going to ask the gentleman from California to please do a better job of characterizing. These are not Sidney Blumenthal's emails. These are Secretary Clinton's emails. And I'll tell you what, if you think...
Yeah, okay. Do a better job of characterizing, please, ferret face. The only reason they're asking for the Blumenthal transcript is because Blumenthal is the person that he is smearing. At long last, sir, have you no decency? It really is getting time to haul that one out and blow the dust off of it and get it out on the road for a little while. Yeah, by the way, where was the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda coverage of this? Yeah, I know, crickets. Just the same, they were all jacked up and full hissy just a day ago. Andrea Tarantula they almost had to bring out the blowgun and the Thorazine dart for her. I mean, again, this was anticipating what went on today. So we're going to do a little time traveling.
And just the hearings, though, tomorrow. I mean, to me, it seems, and I've been saying this for weeks, like this administration is covering for her. And I say that because just today, we learned the State Department finally turned over those emails. We've listened to President Obama give an interview with Steve Croft on 60 Minutes, where he clearly seemed to be giving her cover on this one. Judge Napolitano has been on this couch, and he said the FBI will not indict till they likely call the West Wing of the White House and get their blessing. So from where I sit, I look at this and I say, they are stupid.
Well, from where you sit, Andrea Tarantula, it is apparently in a place of stupid. Did you catch that little one that just flew by? The FBI will not indict until they hear from the West Wing? Excuse me? I hate to break it to Andrea Tarantula, but the FBI has never indicted anyone in this country ever. Only a grand jury indicts. And that grand jury is convened by the federal court, and it is administered by a U.S. attorney from the Department of Justice. Now, granted, the FBI is a division of the Department of Justice, but it's not the division that's called, you know, the U.S. Attorney. It's the FBI. But these godforsaken right-wing fools are so blinded by their hatred for poor Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. I mean, she must want to be president real bad. Because I wouldn't put up with the crap she's putting up with to be Queen of the May. Tell that to Andrea Tarantula. It doesn't matter. She's trying and convicting a Hillary Clinton that only exists in the darkest spider webby, bug infested, moldering, maggots crawling over corner of her spirochete hollowed out brain.
In an obvious form, and nothing's going to happen with this email scandal. I mean, they are all on message. That Democratic debate, Chris, not one went negative against her. Bernie Sanders, who actually I thought had the guts to do it, came back and said, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the emails. They're all-
No, Andrea, that is not what he said. He said, the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your emails. And that's true. But again, Andrea Tarantula is just a tool. And Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is just a tool. I mean, Jesus, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda went on air, the creation of Rupert Murdoch, solely for the express purpose of furthering the great Clinton penis hunt, the cleanus. So, you know, she thought Bernie was going to have the stunt, but no. Oh, no.
All singing on the same song sheet because they're all in on it. This is an administration that flouts the law.
Oh, they're all in on it now. Ooh, all in on what? Did Bernie kill Chris Stevens with his little hatchet? Bernie Sanders took an axe and gave Chris Stevens 40 whacks. Benghazi, who? They're all in on it. Then that's the point where you just get the blowgun and go, and Andrea Tarantula goes, I'm feeling so much better now. Holy wow.
It is lawless. She is not an outlier. This is the modus operandi of the whole bunch.
Well, no, I can understand that. The only point I would make is, you know, either the Republicans on that committee have come up with something or they haven't. And if they have, then all the protection from the White House isn't going to do her any good. And again, and I'm not as sure as either you or Judge Napolitano is that the FBI is going to go in the tank on this, despite what the president said. And I thought it was inappropriate on 60 Minutes where he said that there was no national security damage done. That's the whole point of the FBI investigation. I'm not as convinced that this thing is as cooked as it is. And you know, we'll see tomorrow whether or not the committee's come up with anything. We'll see in the coming days whether the FBI finds anything. But, you know, I kind of believe in the system.
They're all in on it. I'm telling you, they're all in on it. But I caught him. I caught him with the strawberries. Yeah, I found the... There was an extra guy that was a strawberries. Carol tells me they're yelling at Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton now. Really? You know, at some point, and this is similar to something I've predicted relative to the president. At some point, they're liable to just screw up. And call her, you know, a name. In a state of abject desperation. They're just going to lose. You bitch! mind-boggling. Let's check in.
Is in Benghazi, there were some security improvements that were made. Could you talk about some of those, both prior to the attack?
This is Tammy
Duckworth.
Some
of the things that perhaps you sort of alluded to with more ventilation in the safe rooms or some of those things?
Yeah. There were a number of security improvements that were made to the facility. Again, there was an emphasis on trying to buttress the outer walls to try to, you know, create a more effective guard entrance.
Jesus Christ, you know, at some point one of these Republicans is going to say, so, if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood, and therefore, a witch, burn the witch, burn the witch! And then maybe poor Jebbia can be president like he's destined to be. Wouldn't you love to see the fight that's going on in the scripting room at Saturday Night Live about now? This is live, 6:44 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Let's check back in.
Threat training course, which was soon implemented. Also in January 2012, they asked for money for sandbags, security lights, steel door upgrades, drop arm reinforced car barriers. That was promptly sent. Later that month, they were sent extra helmets, bulletproof vests, and a WMD response equipment. In February of 2012, they requested support for a major renovation of the walls surrounding the complex, including making the walls higher, adding concertina wire, laying barbed wire. That project was completed. In March 2012, they asked to construct two extra guard positions. That was completed. In April 2012, they needed help from experts in technical security. And by May, a special team visited to enhance security equipment and security lighting. In June 2012, following the IED incident, immediately a regional team was sent to enhance the perimeter and additional funding was approved for more guards. In July 2012, they said that they needed a minimum of three American security officers in Benghazi. From then on through July, August, and September, they always had three, four, or five American DS agents overseeing the expanded contingent of Libyan guards on site. Those are just some of the requests and the affirmative responses, Congresswoman, that were provided specifically for Benghazi.
Thank you. Well, we know that short of putting people in bunkers and never allowing them outside of embassy compounds, and we're going to have some sort of a threat to our diplomatic personnel security. And obviously, it was not enough. What I'd like to know is, in light of that, what efforts have been put into to provide for contingency operations, especially for known potentially volatile periods in the calendar year? September 11th comes through every year. 2016, September 11th is probably going to be an especially volatile time period. So can you talk a little bit about what you have done or what you put into place and any difficulties you may have come across in coordinating with DOD, the intelligence agencies, other across the government? Is there a move?
Okay, so you know what's going on here in the form of Tammy Duckworth? She's actually asking real questions, not, were you consorting with Satan one night in the woods in his form of Sidney Blumenthal? God Almighty. But along the way, and here's a question that will never get asked by anyone on either the Democratic nor the Republican side, because after all, Wolverines! Why do we put people in positions like this? What business did we have in Libya at all? What? Yeah? Because that's kind of, I think that's kind of an interesting question. And it goes to our general lack of competence over the, you know, not just the last 7 years or the last 15 years or 25 or 30 or 50. We generally are not good at foreign espionage. We never have been. We're not good generally at the whole diplomacy thing. And never have been. You know, if we can't bomb it, well, we're out of options. But that won't get asked, so don't worry. Let's check back in with Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton.
Had problems in the past with the pastor from Florida, Terry Jones, inciting riots and protests that resulted in the deaths of people, including UN and others who were stationed in Afghanistan. And so we're trying to stay in very close touch between the State Department and DOD. In that case, Secretary Gates actually called him and asked him, please, not to get involved in what he was doing because it was dangerous to our troops and our civilians. Unfortunately, you know, he has a mind apparently of his own. So we are trying to have a closer, coordinated planning and response effort. With respect to your specific questions that are really within the purview of the Department of Defense, like the deployment of certain Navy vessels, air wings, and the like, I think that DOD is trying hard to think about how, particularly in North Africa and the Middle East, they can respond. Because, you know, one of the claims that was made that was proven to be untrue was that DOD withheld sending air support, and indeed the closest air support that would have been in any way relevant was too far away. So they're trying to think about how they better deploy and station various assets so that they can have a quicker response time. I've not been involved intimately in this now for, you know, 2 years, more than 2 years. So I can't speak directly, but I know that this was part of the important work that was underway when I left.
You spoke about you spoke about you making personal phone calls to ask for help from the heads of local government, and you spoke a lot about the power of the chief of the mission, the trust that you put into these professionals that are there. So when an embassy comes under attack, especially after this Benghazi attack, from this time forward, do ambassadors, do they need to call you to ask for help from other agencies of U.S. government, or do they have the ability, if there's a DOD, you know, if there is a CIA or DOD force nearby, a Marine FAST team, for example, does the ambassador have to come through security, or do they need to call you to have you call for that? How does that work?
No, and there's an example out of the Benghazi attack. There was a pre-existing understanding between the diplomatic compound and the CIA annex, and there was no need for anybody at the compound to call Washington to alert the CIA annex. They immediately...
You know, it occurs to me, it just dawned on me. You know who Republicans think of when they think of Hillary Clinton? Do you remember the wonderful Coen Brothers movie, Raising Arizona? You remember the demon outlaw biker of the apocalypse? With the trails of flame extending from his demon outlaw bike? Yeah. That or some sort of terror. What's the image I've got in my head of the person with the can of gasoline who just lights the Zippo and throws it over his shoulder? Oof. That. by the way, Tammy Duckworth is Ben Burch's congressperson. I just realized that when I saw the listing of her constituency district. Cool. And God knows how long this is going to go on. Let's check in real quick.
And from Indiana.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I'm going to follow up on what the Congresswoman from Illinois is discussing, which is facility, and I appreciate the laundry list that you just listed with respect to the security improvements or whatever happened with respect to Benghazi. But I have to ask you if you're familiar with the fact that in the wake of the 1998 bombing attacks in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam, Congress passed something referred to as SICA.
This is Susan Brooks. She is a right-wing idiot from Talibandiana.
State to issue a waiver if, under two conditions, if U.S. government personnel work in separate facilities or if U.S. overseas facilities do not meet the security setback distances specified by the Bureau of Diplomatic Security. The law specifies that only the Secretary of State may sign these waivers, and that requirement is not to be delegated. Was a waiver issued for the temporary mission in Benghazi and the CIA annex after the temporary mission compound was authorized through December of 2012? And did you sign that waiver, Madam Secretary?
I think that the CIA annex I had no responsibility for, so I cannot speak to what the decisions were with respect to the CIA annex. That is something that I know other committees.
But you acknowledge you were responsible for the temporary mission compound.
Yes, of course. But you put them together. I just wanted to clarify that I had no responsibility for the CIA annex, obviously. The compound in Benghazi was neither an embassy nor a consulate. Those are the only two facilities for which we would obtain a formal diplomatic notification. And those were the only kinds of facilities that we would have sought waivers for at the time, because we were trying to, as has been testified to earlier, understand whether we were going to have a permanent mission or not. That means you have to survey available facilities, try to find a secure facility, and the standards that are set by the Interagency Overseas Security Policy Board are...
You have to admire, by the way, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's restraint. How you don't begin every response with, "Jane, you ignorant slut," is simply beyond me. God, if only she had that woodpecker tattoo that the demon outlaw biker of the apocalypse had. Be perfect. But then again, maybe ferret-faced Trey Gowdy can spend $4 million to see if they can find out if she does. You know, somewhere that they can't see it. Lord God. I'll tell you what. It is 3 minutes before the hour. And I want to thank our buddy Texas T for getting us started on the fundraising this evening. He just took us down to $322.62. $322.62. That was a pretty quick cipher. $322.62 to go this evening to crawl out of the hole on this thorn in the side Thursday. And a reminder, we will be 10 years old on Saturday, the horn will be. So I guess we'll kind of celebrate it both maybe tomorrow, Friday on the front porch, and maybe we'll keep the party going on Monday. Who knows? Oh, and by the way, in case Paul Ryan's going to be the new Speaker of the House. The spirochete-infested Freedom Caucus managed to stop speaking in tongues and handling snakes long enough to, and swigging strychnine, don't forget the strychnine swigging, long enough to agree that they would behave themselves and let him have family time. No, really, that was one of his demands for becoming Speaker. He has to have family time. Now, this is a guy who opposes paid family leave for anybody else in the United States, but he's going to have him some family time. Hoo-ah. Merca. Greatest nation in the history of the world on earth now, day forever. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord. So we'll take a little break. It is Thursday, so that means we get the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Yay! If we, if you want to, we can discuss this or most anything, any other things. And God knows, I've got a stack of stuff that isn't Benghazi related, and we could have ourselves a fine old time with any number of those things. I mean, there are evenings when I sit here. Afternoons, mornings, when I sit here pulling the program together, and I just I get beside myself at the amount of stupid that is available on any given evening. But we seem to have hit a rather rich vein this evening. Rich indeed. All right, so a break, and then the Green News Report. This is listener-supported conversation radio with $322.62 to go in fundraising this evening. Oh, dear God, that's 10 people at $32.26, which would be 20 people at $16.13. And after that, my head begins to hurt. But it is. It's conversation radio. And, yes, this is the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is for you, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Honest to God, I think she'll be able to pick her teeth with the ferret bones.
See? It's Thursday, October 22nd, 2015.
No corporation has ever done anything this big and this bad.
Calls grow in Congress for DOJ to investigate Exxon.
Harper really bet the farm on oil and gas, and he lost that bet.
Political change in Canada. Is it the beginning of the end for the dirty tar sands? 3 out of 4 Americans now accept climate science. Your sunscreen may be killing coral reefs. Plus, surprise, September 2015 was the hottest September ever recorded.
All of those surprises and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
There's no constitutional right to commit fraud.
Oh, great, Senator Whitehouse. Now you tell Exxon. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, slowly but surely, pressure continues to build to bring a prosecution against Exxon akin to what was brought against Big Tobacco.
I know, it's remarkable, but we'll get to that in a moment. First, the ouster of Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper of Canada this week, after nearly 10 years in power, in favor of Liberal Party leader Justin Trudeau, may foretell a major change in Canada's energy future and Harper's agenda to exploit Alberta's dirty tar sands at all costs. As Alex Dukas of climate policy group Oil Price International and an actual Canadian explained on the broadcast this week, Harper bet big on fossil fuels and lost.
Harper really bet the farm on oil and gas, and he lost that bet. And unfortunately, that bad bet is now hurting a lot of Canadians. So, you know, hopefully with a new government in power, we'll start to see that turn around a little bit. We'll start to see recognition of the value of economic diversification and a recognition that, you know, oil and gas is not the future for Canada, but that clean energy is really a huge opportunity for Canadians.
We'll see. I'm still not certain about this Liberal Party in Canada and if they really get it yet.
Although Trudeau has said that he will personally attend the United Nations climate treaty talks in December, and even though he's expressed support for the controversial Keystone XL tar sands pipeline across the U.S., he said he wouldn't do it at the expense of diplomatic relations with the U.S. Here in the U.S., pressure is rising on Exxon. 2016 Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders has joined calls from other congressional Democrats urging the U.S. Justice Department to investigate ExxonMobil. That's in the wake of new reports showing the oil giant concealed its knowledge that its fossil fuels cause global warming and spent millions of dollars on disinformation to deceive the public, much in the same way that the tobacco industry was successfully prosecuted a decade ago for doing the same. Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, himself a former prosecutor, made the case for an investigation on the Senate floor this week.
The parallels between what the tobacco industry did and what the fossil fuel industry is doing now are so striking that civil discovery could reveal whether the fossil fuel industry's activities crossed that same line into racketeering. And again, fraud is not protected by the First Amendment. There is no constitutional right to commit fraud.
Meanwhile, another new poll indicates the denial industry's influence is waning. 76% of Americans now agree climate change is occurring, and that includes a majority of Republicans. The new UT Energy poll shows yet again that U.S. acceptance of climate change science has shifted significantly upwards. Despite the efforts of the denial industry, it increased 10 points just in the last year. Your sunscreen appears to be damaging coral reefs. That's the conclusion of a disturbing new study that finds that even a minuscule amount of oxybenzone, the main ingredient in most sunscreens, appears to damage coral reefs. It's just one of many pollutants damaging corals, but scientists say you can help by wearing protective clothing instead of chemical sunscreens when you're swimming near coral reefs.
Are there sunscreens that don't have oxybenzone in them?
Yes, there are, but only a few.
Will there be a move to remove oxybenzones from sunscreen?
It's possible, but this study is very new, so I'm sure it will take a lot of time to get to that place. Finally, it's official. September 2015 was the hottest September ever recorded for the entire planet since 1880.
Oh, boy.
That's according to NOAA. It ranked second in NASA's data set. It marks the fifth month in a row of record-setting monthly heat temperatures. The newest, hottest September was fueled by record-warm ocean temperatures, and that has broken the record for the highest number of Category 4 and 5 storms in a single year. The Northern Hemisphere, where most of us live, has now had 20 cyclones, that's both hurricanes and typhoons, reaching Category 4 intensity or higher, and the season is not over yet.
And when you say it is the warmest ever recorded since 1880, it wasn't this warm in 1880. That's just when they started keeping records of this stuff.
That's right.
So as far as we know, it has never been this warm, at least not while humans were walking this earth.
That's right.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime from Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, it's too hot, too hot, too hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger. What a mess we made.
11 minutes past the hour, another dandy good Green News Report there from Brad and Desi. A couple of notes in email, and then quickly to the phones for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Note from Robert in Australia, subject line, an empty box. Bob, how many times can you open an empty box and look inside and see it's empty before you realize and understand that it is empty? Well, you know, I think this would be the famous experiment known as Schrodinger. It's a thought experiment known as Schrodinger's derp. And do these Republicans, Robert continues, understand that you could build an American embassy or whatever with walls 20 feet thick and steel, a steel dome over the top behind a moat filled with sharks with frickin' laser beams? Oh, I love that. And because Americans are so despised in some parts of the world because of American foreign policy, that you'll be attacked anyway and attacked again and again and again. And do these Republicans understand that you could take all the precautions in the world and that it would make no difference to the outcome? Yes, yet no. They don't care. I mean, I'm not barking at you, Robert. You know that. But I can't emphasize enough. They don't care. This has nothing to do. Well, look, these Republicans are flogging the corpses. They're not waving the bloody shirt. They are waving the blown-up corpses of Americans killed at Benghazi for strictly political purposes to try to destroy the woman that they have been waiting for like Fundies wait for the Antichrist, okay? I mean, that's all there is to this. And you know, your points are well taken, Robert. And they're absolutely factual. I mean, my God, I remember the great big Russian-Soviet embassy we were building in Moscow, and then we found out that the whole thing was going to be useless because individual molecules in the concrete were bugged by the KGB. Jesus. We are lambs among wolves where foreign policy is and foreign service is concerned. Note coming from our dear friend Jude. In regard to the hearings, the manner in which they focus brings back horrific memories in my life. Herein lies with this House Select Committee a blatant example of the destructiveness regarding domestic violence mindsets. They are verbal abusers of a high patriarchal order. Some note that there is no help for one such as this other than a targeted dose of gestalt. Targeted something. But yeah, Jude, you're absolutely right. And the question becomes one of, you know, how do you can't file a domestic violence on these right-wing thugs. I guess you just have to let them have their way. Hey, look, it's Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Look out, boy, she'll chew you up, oh, yeah.
his. I cannot get that song out of my head.
No, yeah, no. I know. It's earwormed. I know. Thum, 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 thum,
thum, thum,
thum, thum, thum, thum. Yep. That bass line.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. I just think about the number of times I've heard them scream the word deficit. And then they waste money on shit like this.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't. In a just world, somebody would, you know, drop a house on them every time they say deficit from here on out. But then again, how many millions of dollars did we just flush into the septic system over the cleanest hunt? I mean, how much did Ken Starr's little pornographic the expose cost us? Yeah, fiscal conservatives, my old Aunt Matilda's aching back.
I want to scream.
I know.
And she's forced to sit there. I'm just waiting for all of the GOP candidates to know she's doing so well, I want them to demand equal time. You know that's coming.
Oh, it's because everything's a movie reference. This is that moment from what's the Tom Cruise movie where he's the sports agent, Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money.
No. This is the moment when the really sleazy agent says, "Why doesn't anybody ever hug me?" I want to testify about what I did to, mumbling Ben. I think maybe I'd better testify about what I did in Benghazi too, because the Lord wants me to.
Oh God. So I'm curious. What do you think about Paul Ryan, Eddie Munster?
He's disgusting.
I don't think this is going to go well.
No, the only way he's going to keep, if he's going to take the job, the only way he'll keep it is to stay in the good graces of the likes of Steve Cantaloupe King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert. So that means nothing's going to change in the House, Carol.
Nothing.
I mean, not a damn thing. It's going to stay nuts.
Shut down the government. Defund Planned Parenthood.
Benghazi.
Benghazi hearings.
And who? One of those Freedom Caucus goobers who actually represents the congressional district where I grew up, Mo Brooks. I mean, this guy's a nut. He's already declared that, if that woman gets elected president, we're going to start our impeachment hearings the day she's inaugurated. You know, just because you're having an inauguration don't mean you can't have impeachments.
Honestly, I cannot. I'm worried that if she gets the nomination, that after 8 years of black fatigue, can this country withstand 8 years of Vegzilla, President Vegzilla? Seriously?
Or transition from 8 years of shameless racism to 8 years of shameless misogyny. I mean, I think Republicans can multitask, don't you?
Well, if today's any indication.
But please, Hillary, go get the woodpecker tattoo. Please. Please get the woodpecker tattoo. I mean, it would be... Oh, it goes on the shoulder, doesn't it? I can't remember. But I don't look forward to it. It's not a reason not to vote for her.
No, trust me, if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I'm voting for her.
Oh yeah, so am I. I make no bones about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I do that from the perspective of, because there is a strong temptation that goes with the siren song of "Let It Burn."
No kidding.
You know, just let it all goddamn go. Let these people have their heads. Take away a woman's right to choose. Fine. Defund Planned Parenthood. I mean, Jesus, Texas ran Texas ran search and seizures on Planned Parenthood today without any word on why.
They don't need a why. Jesus.
Yeah, badges. We don't need no stinking badges. Sure. Warrants. Yeah, I got you warrant right here. But I mean, it's you know, give them their way. Let the roads go back to goddamn gravel or dirt. Let children cancel school lunch programs. Cancel WIC. Shut down goddamn EBT. You know, SNAP benefits. Do away. Just turn this into an Ayn Rand goddamn paradise, Carol. Make my retirement, my Social Security retirement age. Make it fucking 90. But the problem is, because the hope in all of that is that by letting everything collapse, that maybe we rebuild something better coming out of the ashes. I am not that much of an optimist.
I'm not either.
And the thing is, with all that
that I'll be dead.
Yeah, with all that let it burn. It's not just the system that's going to burn; it's the people. And so,
exactly.
and so, whose granny are we going to say? Well, you know, we've got a political agenda here. We need to give them their head and let them do what they want. So, why don't you cut back, granny, to one package of the cheap ramen every 3 days? You think you can manage that, granny? I can't do that.
I can't either.
So if in fact, as we have posited a theory here, if in fact, Carol, we are in collapse now, then better that we should collapse a little bit at a time than all at once, right?
None of it sounds good.
No, I mean, it's fixable. I think our problems are solvable, but we have to have a majority of America that wants to solve them.
Well, I think we do have a majority of America who wants to solve them. However, the way that the system has been rigged, Bob, with campaign finance and with gerrymandering, I see the Republicans with a stronghold on the House and the Senate for 20 years.
That's why Anthrax Coulter, in a desperate attempt to get more publicity, has started talking about the Browning of America.
Oh, that crazy bitch. You know, her problem is that now mainstream Republicans are talking the crazy shit that she used to do for shiggles, and now that they're all talking the way that she is, she's just not getting any attention.
Yeah, she's old shtick at this point. There are people who are doing it meaner and smarter and prettier. I mean, remember, we're talking about right-wingers here. Image is everything. I mean, Andrea Tarantula is busting that ass, trying to perfect her Anthrax Coulter shtick. I mean, really? The FBI indicts people, Carol? Did I miss the memo?
I heard that, and I was sitting there going, you know, you get on television, you're a woman, you get on television, you say stupid stuff like this, and it feeds into the whole women aren't smart enough to be engaged in the conversation shtick that just irritates me to no end. And then you get a woman like Hillary Clinton who's sitting there. Okay, here's the deal, is that they're sitting there and they start out with this long diatribe that sets up this false premise. And then they ask her a question, and before she can even get the first word out, they're cutting her off and answering it with a lie, and then screaming at her because she won't just answer yes or no. And she said flat out, I don't accept the premise, which pissed him off. And she's sitting there holding her, like I said, she's looking more and more presidential every minute that she sits there. They're looking worse and worse. They confirmed everything Kevin McCarthy said. Today was just a shining example. And all I can think of is how many kids are going to bed hungry tonight, and how
Yeah, but these, but Carol, those things don't matter to a Republican, to a right winger, to a birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger booger eater. Hungry children. That just means that those children aren't out there picking themselves up by their own damn bootstraps. I mean, as Rush Limbaugh, Flush Flimball, America's oxymoron, famously reminded people. My friends, these children, have they never heard of dumpster diving? I mean, that's the hateful brutality of where we live, of the country in which we live. The Republican answer to hunger is dumpster diving.
Yeah, do you know what they do in Spain?
No, what?
They put locks on the dumpsters. It's coming to America.
Jesus.
I'm serious. I lived there for 3 years, and I still have friends there. Somebody sent me a story about, you know, with all the austerity measures that are going on in Europe, and all the back and forth and the bickering and all the literally starving people, and the unemployment, people had taken to dumpster diving just to survive. And they passed laws ordering that all the dumpsters be locked. Because, you know, it's a sanitation issue, and if somebody were to get some bad food and die, forget that they're dying of starvation. Yes. Coming to America, I promise you.
And
because these people are mean.
You know, I managed to be part of a generation that never had any great, humongous world conflagrations with which to have to cope. So my generation has largely shuffled along, self-absorbed, and for some of us, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it feels like is it just me, Carol? It feels like it's coming. I mean, to see what Europe is going through, you know, not because people don't have to work themselves into an early grave in Europe, but because Europe has tried to recreate itself out of its own ashes, its own blood sodden ashes, as a humane place. Well, last week when an anti-immigrant right-winger in Germany stabbed Henriette Recke, who was running for mayor of Cologne, just before the Sunday elections, a guy declaring himself the Messiah and how he was trying to stop the immigrant tide into Germany, stabbed her in the neck and left her in serious condition. They now say Frau Recker is going to make a full recovery, but hell, they had to put her into an induced coma.
Charming.
This is.
Meanwhile, Angela Merkel is having to explain to Bibi Netanyahu that Germany was responsible for the Holocaust.
Yeah, I mean, imagine being the Chancellor of Germany and going, Biebs, no, that was us. We did that. You know, we acknowledge it. We own it.
Did he catch something when he came over here?
I don't know. You know, strange things happen to people's brains when they turn on right-wing radio, Carol. But even in Israel, the Israeli press is going, you know, really, Jesus Christ, because see, there's this thing that's been going on in Israel where Israelis are going and you know, just sort of randomly murdering Palestinians.
Yeah.
Because Palestinians are, let's see, let me see if I can remember a little bit of my my German from those dark days. The Israelis have rendered the Palestinians into Untermenschen.
I don't know what that
is. Subhumans. And so, you know, it's okay to kill them. And that's where you get Bibi Netanyahu saying, well, you know, it was the Palestinians who invented the Holocaust, not Hitler.
Muslims, didn't he say it was the Muslims?
Well, it was the Grand Mufti of Palestine or the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem or something. And in Bibi's thin gray settlings between his ears, he's decided that the Grand Mufti told Hitler said he only wanted to eject the Jews from Germany, and the Grand Mufti said, oh, but they'll only come here. And Hitler said, what should I do with them? And Bibi reported that the Mufti said, burn them.
Could you ever imagine a day in your lifetime when the Prime Minister of Israel would be defending Hitler?
And that's, you know, that's one of the that's one of the primary concerns of the people who are objecting to all this. They say, you know, listen, we have a hard enough time with the Holocaust deniers as it is. And you just and you just, baby, you just did their job for them. But see, Carol, fascist is as fascist does, and baby is a fascist. And sooner or later you're gonna start talking extermination if you're a fascist. Cause see, I mean, follow the reasoning. If the Holocaust is really the Palestinians' fault, then there probably needs to be a final solution for Palestinians.
Well, isn't that what he's hoping for?
I think when you're dropping precision guided munitions into infants' cribs, you're kind of already on the way. But of course, nothing Bibi could say would stop us from continuing to pour the billions of dollars of American working people's the product of their labor into Bibi's lap. You know, because all the Jesus freaks would wet their maiden forms screaming about how the devil's gonna get us because we ain't on Israel's side no more.
God, I've heard that so many times, it makes me want to just scream.
The official language is, the Lord God will raise his veil of protection from America, just as he did on September 11th. I hate being so good at that.
I know. I get it.
By the way, while we're at it, so there was the stabbing in Germany. And I guess you heard today what went on in Sweden.
I did.
A guy with a sword or a knife, it pretty much appears to be a sword, went after a school in Sweden. He was eventually shot by police. Can you imagine what damage? I mean, he killed two people.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what damage he would have done had he had access to Second Amendment remedy freedom protectors? You know, one with maybe a 100-round magazine and you know, semi-automatic mechanism. And now the Swedes will find themselves in a horrible period of mourning. And people there will, you know what, we need guns. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Swedes won't respond that way. We'll wait to hear from our buddy Scott in Sweden as to what the response will be.
I like that.
But by the way, the killer had ties to right-wing anti-immigrant extremist groups. In other words, fascists. They're on the freaking march, Carol. There and here. I don't know. Every so often, do you just have to? Do you have to just kick the stuffing out of the fascists to keep them down?
I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking this is why mommy drinks.
Oh, no kidding. You know, our buddy Ron in the Great Unfrozen North pointed out a little bit ago. He said, I spent an entire day in Canada without hearing the word Benghazi pass anyone's lips. I guess that's what happens when you live in a socialist backwater like Canada.
I know, and it's looking more and more attractive all the time, and yet I can't think of a way to get in there, because I've checked it out.
I'm too old. They're not interested. I'm stuck.
That's the problem. Cursing isn't a special skill that...
Well, they'd probably come and round me up if I tried to do my show in Canada.
I doubt that.
Hate speech and all of that.
Nuh-uh.
But
I don't think telling the truth is hate speech, sorry.
Oh, but, you know, calling Trey Gowdy ferret face probably qualifies. But honest to God, he is, isn't he?
He is.
That pinched up, sweaty, greasy little weasel.
The hairdo is what gets me. How he's got it, how it just accentuates the point on his head.
Well, that thin little razory sort of feral nose. I mean, yeah,
he is really greasy.
And but how long is this going to go on? I mean, do we know?
We don't know how long it's going to go on today. It doesn't look like there's any end in sight, because I think what their hope is that they'll keep her on the witness stand and scream at her and insult her and lie about her until she just says, oh, fuck you. And then that'll be the sound. They're waiting for her to give them the soundbite, and she's not doing it. I mean, it's no secret. It was never about getting to the bottom of what happened. It was always a dirt day. It was always about trying to find a scandal. And it was about keeping her from succeeding Barack Obama. And you know that they're going to drag this thing out until the election. And let me tell you something. The moment the election is over, they will have zero interest in Benghazi.
No, they'll finally let the corpses go to their deserved rest. But I don't say this critically, but never let an opportunity go to waste. This just landed in my inbox, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Alert! Hillary Clinton needs you today. The GOP's Benghazi panel, that was designed to take down Hillary Clinton, as admitted by the majority leader, launched an all-out assault on Hillary Clinton. Even though they've wasted millions on this political charade, the GOP is refusing to shut it down. Okay, this is all true. Now that Hillary Clinton has faced the panel's badgering, attacking her record, and trying to score political points, we need to shut down this wild goose hunt. Okay, that's true, too. If we're able to raise $25,000 right now, we're going to be able to go on the offensive against the GOP. Let's fight back. Click here to donate now before it's too late.
Via
hmpack.com.
How about no?
Yeah, no kidding.
Although I did sign up for the RNC mailers under a fake name so that I would always know where it was coming from when they used that fake name. And it is hysterical. And of all the names, I chose Donna Moss from the West Wing. They send them. Dear Donna Moss.
Nice.
I know. It just...
Oh, hey, this might be fun. I'm checking in. I've just been rolling in the background on this.
Yeah.
I think. Wait. Let's see. Ferret Face just recognized someone else. this would be representing Jim Jordan. He's a real Lulu. Shall we check in for a minute?
Sure.
Transparent as possible, more transparent than anybody else ever has been. You didn't say more transparent than anybody. You said more transparent than anybody else ever. Now, my definition of transparency includes being honest and straightforward, and being honest and straightforward right from the start, right from the get-go. So let's look at a few things that you said here in the last few months. On March 10th, you said this. You provided all work-related emails erring on the side of anything that might be a federal record. In September, you revised that statement, and you said Mr. Blumenthal had some emails that you didn't. Of course, the revised statement was after we interviewed Mr. Blumenthal about Benghazi and found out that we didn't receive from you and the State Department the same information we received from him. In March, you said it was your practice to email government officials on their .gov accounts. Later, you revised that statement, and you said there was a fraction of emails with work-related information sent to government officials on their personal accounts.
I'm sorry, but what does this have to do with what happened in Benghazi?
Of course.
When are we going to get there?
The gentleman is not recognized. The gentleman from Ohio controls the time.
And it has everything to do because we want the record so we can get to the truth. And maybe if the gentleman from Washington would have shown up for more than just 1 hour of one interview, he might know a little more about the situation as well and the lack of getting the record. Of course, this second statement, the revised statement, was after this committee had contacted Huma Abedin, Jake Sullivan, Philippe Reines, asking for their personal accounts, which of course you knew would mean we would get their emails. And that first statement in March was not accurate. In March, you said no classified information was sent or received on your...
Is there going to be a question mark anywhere in there, Carol?
Oh, there's never a question in there. It's all diatribe and supposition. And then, what say you? And when she goes, well, for... enough! And then they jump over... Well, Sidney Blumenthal is obviously the most fucking important person in the United States, right?
See? Sorry. I mean, this just... I'm stymied.
You know what this is? This is the GOP digging up Chris Stevens' corpse and using him as a fucking hood ornament on the campaign bus. That's exactly what this is. It's gross.
And the mothers
of two of the victims came out. And there was a New York Times article on Sunday. They're pissed over that ad.
As well they should be, shouldn't they? I mean, they do have a right to be.
Let's ask them what they think. Oh, wait, we can't. They're dead.
Dear God.
Should we call Hillary Madam President or Mrs. President?
I think it's just becoming more likely that it'll be President.
I think so.
Yeah. By the way, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand dropped me a note, Carol.
Yes.
After I said it was talking about, you know, our generation waiting for the other shoe to drop, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand says, when the shoe drops, it will be a boot on our face.
True enough.
And that's how she earns that name.
By those who actually have bootstraps.
Steve from Vermont, on the other hand, says, Trump is the strong man so many Americans desire. This desire for a strong man belies a fatal weakness in the American character. Someone to take charge, no matter how vile and evil. Someone to root out the undesirables, you know, those Untermenschen, and clear a path to tremendous wealth for all his followers. Because many people are enthralled by the hope that someday they too will be rich, and then they too can be like Donald Trump. This belies hidden and not so hidden pathologies. And that's what it boils down to. Yeah, pathology. Because they're sick. they're sick.
Oh, well, he stood up and said Bernie Sanders was a communist who wants to you to be taxed at 90%.
Yeah, no.
Really? You?
Right, no. See, just no.
No.
No, he wants to tax the Donald Trumps at, you know, 90%. Because, you know, Trump can afford it. Oh, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton is responding, is having a colloquy with Jim Jordan. This ought to be fun.
Oh, hit it.
Parameters. I want to know the specifics.
They did all of that, and I did not look over their shoulders because I thought it would be appropriate for them to conduct that search, and they did.
Will you provide this committee, or can you answer today? What were the search terms?
The search terms were everything you could imagine that might be related to anything, but they also went through every single email.
But that's not answering the question. What were the search terms? Search terms means terms. What terms did you use?
What were
the date parameters? What date did you start? What was the end date? And the emails in between there we're going to look at.
Well, Congressman, I asked my attorneys to oversee the process. I did not look over their shoulder. I did not dictate how they would do it. I did not ask what they were doing and how they made
their decisions. You don't know what terms they used to determine which ones were your emails and which ones the State Department got and therefore we might get?
You know, the State Department had between 90 and 95% of all the ones that were work-related. They were already on the system. In fact, this committee got
emails. I'm not asking about those. I'm asking about the 62,000 that were exclusively on your system.
90 to 95% of all work-related emails were already in.
Well, we know that the National Archive has, Secretary Clinton, we know the National Archive has said 1,250 were clearly personal. No way you should have sent them to the State Department. And then we also know that 15 you missed because we got those from Mr. Blumenthal when he came and was for his deposition.
Thank you.
So if you missed 15 you should have given us, and you gave us 1,250 that not we say, but the National Archive says you never should have turned over. You erred on both sides. So again, that's why we want to know the terms, because if you've made a mistake both ways, you might have made more mistakes. We don't know.
Your mama and daddy made a mistake.
You had 9 hours with one of my attorneys. And since I think the Democrats just finally released the transcript, I haven't had a chance to...
asked Ms. Mills. Well, I did. I asked her about this, and she gave me basically the same kind of answer you're giving me.
Well, she'll be happy to supplement the record.
But she's not on the witness stand today. You are, and I'm asking you.
Well, but I asked my attorneys to do it. I thought that was the appropriate way to proceed.
Let me do one other statement. Because okay. It sounds like I hope you'll turn those. I hope we'll know the terms. I think the American people like to know what terms you use to determine what we might get so that we can get all the information on Libya and find out what happened where these four Americans gave their lives. I think that's critical. In March, you also said this. Your server was physically located on your property, which is protected by the Secret Service. Now, I'm having a hard time figuring this out because this story's been all over the place. But there was one server on your property in New York and a second server hosted by a Colorado company in Housing, New Jersey. Is that right? There were two servers?
No. There was a server
that was
already being used by my husband's team, an existing system in our home that I used, and then later... Again, my husband's office decided that they wanted to change their arrangements, and that's when they contracted with the company in Colorado.
And so there's only one server, is that what you're telling me? And it's the one server that the FBI has?
The FBI has the server that was used during the tenure of my State Department service.
Okay. In your statement, you said which was protected by the Secret Service. Why'd you mention the Secret Service? Here's what I'm thinking. Could a Secret Service agent standing at the back door of your house protect someone in Russia or China from hacking into your system? Why'd you mention the Secret Service agent?
Out of just an abundance of being transparent.
Transparent? What's the relevance to protecting from classified information?
There was nothing marked classified on my emails, either sent or received, and I want to respond.
Use the right term there. Use marked. Yeah, that's the one. That's
well,
what you revised. Use the revised statement there.
Well, Congressman, there was a lot of confusion because many Americans have no idea how the classification process works, and therefore I wanted to make it clear that there is a system within our government, certainly within the State Department, where materials that is thought to be classified is marked such so that people have the opportunity to know how they are supposed to be handling those materials. And that's why it became clearer, I believe, to say that nothing was marked classified at the time I sent or received it.
All right. All I know is that's different what you said in March. I got one last question. The FBI's got your server. They're doing a forensic review of your server. They may recover emails that you deleted from your system. So, I didn't say this, you said it. You just said a little bit ago, too, transparency. You said you were the more transparent than anybody else ever. So I'm going to ask you just one simple question. If the FBI finds some of these emails that might be deleted as they're reviewing your server, will you agree to allow a neutral third party, like a retired federal judge, to review any emails deleted to determine if any of them are relevant to our investigation?
Congressman, as you point out, there is a security inquiry being conducted by the Department of Justice, and I trust that they will do whatever is appropriate to reach their conclusions.
But would you, as the most transparent person ever, would you commit to saying if whatever they find, I want a retired federal judge to evaluate that and look and see if we need some of that information to get to the truth?
I have been releasing my emails to the public. That is transparency, and as I stand by my statement, so far as I know, in the modern era, I am the only government official who's ever done that.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Gentleman's time has expired. The chair will now recognize the gentleman from Georgia, Mr. Westmoreland.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear God. This is going to be unbearable. But can we ask a question, Carol? For the honorable gentleman from Ohio, if monkeys fly out of his butt, will he leave the room?
Well, there's only one way to answer that. Did you or did you not work together with a black Muslim to kill four Americans to cover up giving poor people health care? Did you? Does that about cover it?
That about does.
And she has been sitting there since 10 o'clock to freaking morning, Eastern time. What are we going on, 9-10 hours now?
Yeah, 10 hours. Yeah. Oh, we got to check in on Lynn Westmoreland because earlier today he said little old. I know you love my Jubilation T Cornpone accent, but he said little old. He said this little old committee or some such. But he's getting the stink eye from Tammy Duckworth.
People that served, if you'll read that, I think you'll find that a lot of these things that the secretary said as far as enhancements was paid for by petty cash out of their own money and not really fulfilled or completed. The other thing I want to ask you, Madam Secretary.
Will the gentleman yield for just 20 seconds?
Sure.
I think that's why it behooves us as members of Congress to increase the security budget for the State Department. They routinely get less than they need, and I think that Americans in general would not begrudge more money for security to safeguard our diplomats. But I agree with you that the report does say that.
Well, reclaiming my time, there was $20 million that she was going to send to Libya for their security upgrades. You mentioned the sixth man, that you had to wait on the sixth man.
The fifth man, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. I was going to say there must have been somebody hiding in the closet or something that we didn't know
about. The Republic is always worried about closets.
You also said in one of the last things that the State Department sent more security from Tripoli to Benghazi during the attack. Mm-hmm. There was not a State Department person on that plane. There were four GRS agents and two TDY DOD people
and
an interpreter.
Well, that is exactly right, and that's why the cooperation and coordination that I've been talking about with Congress.
From all the information we've got, Mr. Glenn Daugherty is the one that said, we are going down to help our brothers, and he got permission from the chief of station to go down there, and he took three other GRS agents And then he got the two DOD guys that wanted to go, volunteered to go. They took their interpreter, they chartered the plane, and they went down there. It was not a State Department deal. And in fact, if you want to know the truth, the only option that the State Department had was the FES team, as we, you and I talked about before. Now, you mentioned that it was for rebuilding, and I've got the State Department thing here about the FES. And I would read it, but it's going to take up too much of my time. But there's not anything in – it doesn't say anything about rebuilding anything. It says that it's for crisis management expertise, time-sensitive information, planning for contingency operations.
I thought he wasn't going to read it.
Hostage negotiating expertise, which we thought at one time that the ambassador may have been kidnapped, reach back to Washington, D.C. agencies and specialized communications capabilities. Now, that's what it says on the State Department website. And, you know, that would have been the one thing that you could have done to get people on the way over there to help those folks that were still in an ongoing battle that was ready to go, setting.
Carol, have they bothered to just accuse her of deliberately causing the deaths of those four individuals?
They've come dangerously close to doing that.
Yeah, why don't they just?
Essentially, it's a matter of them saying that she knew they needed help. She knew they were in trouble. She knew they needed help. She refused to give them help. And when other people tried to help, she called them back.
She left them to die.
He left him to the Secretary Clinton. Exactly what did you have for lunch with President Blackenstein on that dark day? And exactly what flavor of Kool-Aid did you drink?
Because we all know you've been a drunken of the Kool-Aid. Yeah. Ron in the Unfrozen North says, you and Carol would be just fine up here. You wouldn't just have to learn to, you would just have to learn to preface everything with, pardon me, but I really must point out that your head is so far up your ass, you can see the back of your teeth, etc., etc.
Those Canucks are so polite.
Oh, they are. They are. with regard to Jim Jordan, Ron said, this dude talks like he's on speed. Must be a Baptist deacon.
No, I think he's actually on speed.
Hello.
I'm going to investigate Secretary Clinton, so I had 12 Red Bulls before the committee. Yeah,
tweakity, 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 tweak.
Yes. Yeah.
Ron says, I'm old enough to remember Joseph McCarthy and the fear he inspired in Americans. Why can't we see and acknowledge that the same bloviating bullshit is taking place right now? I swear to God that these Republicans are just looking for their 15 minutes of fame. Well, no, they're looking to take down Hillary Clinton. That's the purpose of all of this.
Exactly.
And if you could wiretap the
bastards from the race, this would be over.
Yeah. And if you could wiretap the bastards, it'd take about 15 seconds before you found that out. Without a doubt. Jude, a couple of minutes ago, when Jim Jordan was done, said, son of a bitch, who was that? Jack in Shreveport says, terms? Terms? Is Butthead asking for the exact keywords used in searching the text of the emails? Yes!
You didn't know that? You didn't know that? Why didn't you know that? You mean to tell me you don't know the terms?
Why didn't he say Boolean? He didn't say Boolean. Jack also says, most transparent ever. Are you effing kidding me? A Republican is complaining about someone else's hyperbole? Well, yes, as a matter of fact. And Steve in New York says, I have an honest question. I've not followed the Benghazi shit. However, in listening to the snippets I've heard today, I'm trying to figure out what exactly the GOP says is supposed to be there. I honestly don't get it. You wanna take this one, Carol?
I got nothing. Seriously.
Okay. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State when the Benghazi annex was attacked, and Susan Rice used words that were given to her by General Petraeus. By General Petraeus, which turned out to be the wrong words, which, of course, is a national security crisis if you say something wrong on Meet the Prostitutes, unless you're a Republican, in which case, like, Ferret Face, it's okay.
Oh, you can lie with gusto.
You can lie with dogs and get up with fleas. But, and so, because Susan Rice said the wrong things that David Petraeus told her to say, that means that Hillary Clinton is the leader of a secret vagina cabal that is determined to slaughter God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Foreign Service, CIA, mercenary types. And Chris Stevens knew this, and she had him killed, and the same way she did Vince Foster.
Ooh, good.
Have I got it? Do I have it?
That's pretty good. Where's Bill in all this? You know he's involved.
Oh, he was at the MENA airport picking up a cocaine shipment through Charlie Tree.
Cool. With a hooker?
Absolutely.
Okay, just checking.
I mean, god damn.
Sorry, after 10 hours of this shit, I mean, they can rightly be called bullies.
I mean, Brother Deacon Asa says, Hillary, this is coming from a Canadian, mind you, Hillary is far too patient. I'd have smacked that son of a bitch for his rude tone.
Oh, and let me tell you.
I mean, when the Canadians start saying that, Carol, you know it's gotten ridiculous.
Well, and the other thing that I find interesting, Hillary privatized her server rather than use the government's. I thought they loved privatization.
Well, they do. And you know why she said that the server was in the house that was protected by the Secret Service? Because that meant that no 6'6" tall resurrected zombie Muslims could sneak in and break in and steal the server and give it to the spying, prying Chinese who are so inscrutable.
Or worse, the headloppers.
Woo, headloppers, bang! Wait, the good ones or the bad ones?
The bad ones.
Okay, not our partners in peace, the headloppers.
Oh, goodness, no, not the Saudis. Those are good headloppers.
Yeah, well, except when that one in our White House is bowing to them instead of kissing them on the lips like Dim Leader done.
And right, holding hands.
Right there on the mouth. In the frozen foods. Ethel, don't look!
You said that like Andy Griffith. I loved it. On the mouth!
Oh, but it was too late. She done got an eyeful. Mercy. And representing Westmoreland still going. Let's see.
Attorney sat down with the State Department, and they said, we got a problem. And so we got to come up with something that this is not just the secretary having these emails in a private server. So I tell you what let's do. Let's go back and ask Madeleine Albright, who was Secretary of State in 1997, that never even had an email account, or let's go back and ask, you know, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and me to provide all this information.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm just telling you, it doesn't smell right, and so I yield back.
Well, if I could respond, I think in the course of trying to answer and archive information, the State Department determined that they did have gaps in their record keeping, and it was much more than about me. They had gaps with respect to others, both other secretaries and others within the State Department. And the technology in the State Department, indeed throughout our entire government, is notoriously difficult and often unreliable. And I think it was the State Department's efforts to try to fill some of those gaps. So I didn't know at the time that there had been such a meeting. I learned of it subsequently. And when I received a copy of the letter that was sent by the State Department to me and the other three preceding secretaries of state, I immediately said, well, let's help them fill the gaps, even though I believed that the vast majority of my emails were already in their system. And we did. We conducted the investigation, the survey that I have described to you, and turned over more than 30,000 work-related emails, 55,000 pages to the State Department. 90 to 95% were already there. We sent so many that some were going to be returned because they were clearly not work-related. We did our best. I did my best to make sure that if there were gaps in record-keeping, at least my materials would be there to help fill any gaps above and beyond the 90 to 95% of emails that were already in the system.
Maybe if we dig up little Jimmy Madison, who was America's first Secretary of State, madam, maybe he can tell us why it is that you hate baby Jesus.
Oh, in meddling old Brad's day, they used stone tablets and chisels. So why are you trying to divert from the fact that you murdered those four people?
God damn, I know. You know, it's a good thing the plea agreement keeps you from drinking, Carol.
You got that right, buddy. I'm on my second pot of coffee so that I can talk like that other guy.
Steve just said, it suddenly occurs to me this country is fucked if this is any kind of political discourse, the campaign, or search for truth, exactly. These hearings. I can't be awake, and this must be a dream. I'm sorry.
And, you know, and the worst part is that if you try to have any sort of a rational conversation about it with anyone, then, I'm sorry, the PC police are here, because trying to carry on a reasoned civil conversation means you're the PC police. Unless you can say the most sexist, racist, xenophobic, inflammatory things, then you're the PC police. Because civility, oh, that is just so passé.
Well, Michael in Madison says, I don't get it either. Jesus, I've had that same question for 3 years now. What the f*** are they even looking for?
Here's the thing. After 10 hours of this, you could binge watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians and rebuild lost brain cells.
Oh, yeah, and get far more content out of it, yeah.
Exactly.
Michael says, I can only assume that they figure if they turn over every stone, they will find another blowjob, and this is just a flimsy excuse to flip rocks. Michael says, I ranted this earlier. 3+ years of this Benghazi shit, and I still don't understand what the Repub's point even is. Can anyone help me out here? All these bullshit semantic arguments. Did this person or that person call it terrorism, or just an act of terror, or an attack, or murder, or a violent protest, or an exploding ham sandwich of death? And when did they say it? Or did they blame an inflammatory video, or merely say some used the video to justify these terrible acts by terrorists, or criminals, or big, bad, mean booger eaters? What am I missing? Where's the gotcha in any of that? What's the alleged crime? Poor choice of words? Exactly. Well, no, the crime, Michael, is being Hillary.
That's right. And today is their one shot to crucify her once and for all. And what I'm hearing is panic in their voices. That's why this...
But they're going to... That's what I still don't get, though. They're going to control the House. They're going to control the Senate. They're going to retain control of the Supreme Court.
They want it all.
And then what?
And then we die.
I mean, Michael says, if Democrats had investigated George W. Bush every time his specific choice of words fell short of our expectations in terms of descriptiveness and accuracy, never mind coherence, we'd still be having hearings for the next 1,000 years.
Strategery.
You misunderestimated me.
I don't think he ever said strategery. I think Will Ferrell made that up, but I love it.
Could we maybe have had a hearing when he said, God told me to attack Saddam Hussein? I mean, really, could we have had a hearing on that? Because, see, if you've got a chief executive who's hearing fucking voices, it might be time to serve notice on that whole 25th Amendment confusing stuff we went over a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was Barney the dog giving him orders too? Yeah, I'm called Son of Spam.
Well, they're just, they're so desperate, they're taking every debunked theory of the attack and just, I just see this poor dead horse being beaten and beaten and beaten. And at some point, you got to have mercy for it.
Uh-oh. I think Adam Schiff just must have landed something, because they just cut to a camera shot of Ferret Face looking like he was sucking on a green persimmon.
Oh, do it. Do it.
Respect to our chairman, who says, shut up, other members. You don't know what you're talking about. I'd have to say, actually, the one person who does know what he's talking about was Kevin McCarthy. So that's why I think we're here. And it would be one thing if it was that comment in isolation. It'd be another if we didn't have one of their own team, a GOP investigator who's going to vote for whoever the Republican nominee is, he tells us proudly, saying the same thing. But it's the way we've conducted ourselves that is the most compelling evidence that that's the only object here. I mean, I think we've seen amply tonight in the questions. There's very little interest in what actually happened. There's not much interest in how we can prevent it in the future, but there's a lot of interest in trying to score points against you tonight. Everybody, I think, on this side of the podium is hoping they're the one that does the gotcha that makes the news. Well, it's a terrible abuse of our responsibility and our power. And I think we'll rue the day that we did this. I have no questions, Madam Secretary, and I appreciate your patience, and I yield back. I'm happy to yield to my colleague, Mr. Cummings.
Madam Secretary, I want to associate myself with the words of my colleague. But I want to go back to the ARB. And my 20 years on the Oversight Committee, one of the things that I've tried to do is try to make sure that I protect the reputations of the people who come before our committee, be they Republican witnesses, be they Democrat or independent. The reason being that I realize that there's life after the hearing. And so often, Madam Secretary, what happens is people come before these hearings. The families watching, colleagues watching, they are torn apart. And then in many instances, things are corrected later on. Instead of it appearing on the front page of the newspaper, it's on page 33 at the bottom in a little paragraph. And you were talking a little bit earlier about the night of the tragedy. And I've done a lot of depositions in my life as a lawyer. But I can tell you, and I think you should be very proud of this, when I listened to Cheryl Mills, to Mr. Sullivan, and Ms. Abedin, when they talked about this night and what you did that night in their transcribed interviews, all of them were basically brought to tears. And I remember sitting there saying to myself, you know, if you can create a culture in an organization where people, in talking about their boss and how she reacted and what she felt, that would bring them to tears, it says a lot. And I realize that you've gone through a lot, but the fact still remains that, and it bothers me when I hear people even imply that you didn't care about your people. That's not right. And then I sit here and I watch you. And wow. I saw how you kind of struggled when you were talking about that night. And I just, for one, want to thank you, and I appreciate what you've done. It has not been easy. You're right. It's easy to sit up here under these lights and Monday morning quarterbacking about what could have been, what should have done. You have laid it out. I think you have said you have. This has not been done perfectly. You wish you could do it another way. And then the statement that you made a few minutes ago when you said, you know, I have given more thought to this than all of you combined. So I don't know what we want from you. Do we want to badge you over and over again until you get tired, until we do get the gotcha moment that he's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We're better than that. We are so much better. We are a better country. And we're better than using taxpayer dollars to try to destroy a campaign. That's not what America is all about. So you can comment if you like. I just had to get that off my chest.
God bless him, if there was a God.
Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Congressman. I came here because I said I would. And I've done everything I know to do, as have the people with whom I worked, to try to answer your questions. I cannot do any more than that. The answers have changed not at all since I appeared 2 years ago before the House and the Senate. And I recognize that there are many currents at work in this committee, but I can only hope that the statesmanship overcomes the partisanship. At some point, we have to do this. It is deeply unfortunate that something as serious as what happened in Benghazi could ever be used for partisan political purposes. And I'm hoping that we can move forward together. We can start working together. We can start listening to each other. And I appreciate greatly what you said, Ranking Member Cummings.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my God, she just handed Ferret Face his ass.
He's going to ask her about the Lufthansa Heights next.
Yeah, here we go.
Which is correct. I did. And Speaker Boehner never mentioned your name in the phone call. And then my friend from California suggested that maybe I wished I had not received that phone call. And I'd like to assure him that he could not be further from the truth. Learning about the four people, two of whom you worked with, and all four of whom we count as fellow Americans, is worth whatever amount of political badgering that may come my way. I have seen the personification of courage and public service. So I...
But not from
Adam,
you,
the
lady.
Answer to your question is no, I don't regret it. I'm a better person for having learned more about the four people that we lost in Benghazi, and that's why we signed up for it. And with that, I'll go to Mr. Pompeo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schiff, you also suggested that you had to be in the room with the Speaker. You're right, he was originally against the formation of this committee, but you don't have to guess as to why he formed it. He made it clear when he announced this committee. It was because the State Department turned over information in a FOIA request that had not been turned over to the previous committees.
Yeah, okay, sure. God, Carol, you about wore out? I'm about wore out with all this. Imagine how poor Secretary Clinton feels.
I feel sorry for her. I really do. And they're making me more fond of her, which is just kind of pissing me off. But you know.
It's hard to I mean, that was Jesus. There were people sitting behind her nodding their heads yes while she was talking.
Well, did you hear Martha Roby ask her On the night of September 11, 2012, the night that the terrorists attacked the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, who else was at your home? Were you alone? Secretary Clinton said, yes. The whole night? Well, yeah, the whole night. And she kind of started laughing, and then the whole room burst out laughing. I don't know why that's funny. I don't know why that's funny. But everybody else in the room just kept laughing.
God, these people.
I know. It's desperation at its worst. And it's America at its worst.
But that statement that she just gave is a campaign commercial.
You bet it is. I'm telling you, you've got GOP presidential hopefuls that are going to demand 9 hours in front of the Benghazi committee.
And, of course, the Yahoo talking now is this Pompeo from Kansas, and the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand is probably going, oh, no. But, yeah, because he's a Lulu, too. Hey, I tell you what, Carol, Tom from, excuse me, Tom from FYILive.com. Has been patiently waiting.
Let me go. I want to hear from Tom.
Okay, cool. Well, we will talk soon then.
Yes, oh, you will.
By the way, did your little lavalier mic arrive?
It did, and it works beautifully.
Isn't it cool? Yeah, neat piece of technology.
Cool.
And
Thank you very much.
And for $15.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, nice.
So, Chairman, I yield my time to Tom.
Well, I associate myself with your remarks, Mrs. Baker.
Well, you have a good night, buddy.
All right, take care, Carol. Bye now.
Drink.
Yeah, drink. And there's Tom.
Hey, senators, congresspeople, or whatever. You know what? It's not happening. It's not on Fox News. So don't worry about
it. Yeah, it's not real. And so at least, you know, At least the Republicans have that.
The
Emery and Marvelline and their matching Barca loungers didn't have to watch that evil demoncrat Hitlery hand Trey Gowdy his ass. Because what was beautiful out of that is she made all that stuff, said all that stuff about partisanship and everything, and Gowdy didn't dare say a word back.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was, yeah, and I want to just say, they look like they're, I hate using the, because domestic violence is a big thing, but they look like they're domestic abusers right now, beating the crap out of her. And she's going to get so much sympathy out of this that one, it's going to give her a bump, and two, it's going to, people are going to see this and realize that this is nonsense. You know, they may not donate, they may not vote for her, but like Carol said, I feel sorry for her, and so do I. And this is absolute bullcrap that they're putting her through this. And Senator Sanders was absolutely correct. The American people are tired of it, and that $4 million could have gone to the vets who need help, could have gone to West Virginia Stan, could have gone to Detroit.
How many children in America, Tom, will go to sleep hungry tonight?
Yeah, but Harold Gowdy, as Tom Hartman let us know. Harold Gowdy, not Trey.
He's Harold Gowdy III.
Yes.
So in other quarters, he might have been known as Trip.
Yes, exactly. I do want to share with some good news for you today.
Yes.
Donald Trump. This is from Up Rocks and the Washington Globe. Donald Trump is, I'm sure you already knew this because you're a smart guy, is speaking at a fourth grade reading level.
I do know that from that one analysis of the positive comments on his Facebook feed, his followers tend to make more spelling and grammatical errors than any other presidential candidate's followers and fans and supporters or whatever.
Yes, and Dr. Ben Carson, you know, the brain surgeon.
Yeah, not far behind.
Sixth grade. Would it surprise you to know that Hillary Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders in the same speaking algorithm thing, math is hard with me, 10th grade levels, And amazingly enough, of all people, Governor Huckstermey, 10th grade level.
I'll be dipped. Because, you know, yeah. in that spelling thing, the most literate followers of anybody were Lincoln Chafee's.
Well, his dad died, so you got time to study for it.
Oh, God. Tom. I mean, this is...
I didn't mean
for this thing, this evening's broadcast to just devolve into this Benghazi thing. In fact, I specifically didn't want it to. But you can't look away.
Yeah. I thought that Dr. Ben Carson was Mr. Ambien, but that Westmore dude.
Oh, Lynn Westmoreland.
Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. I got his name wrong. Names are hard. Bite me. I was ready to pass out. I mean, it was just like, take both of them and you got a Bill Cosby date. I mean, no drugs needed.
That was cold.
I know. I'm in a mood. Can you tell?
Yeah, but this would put you in one.
Well, wasting money like this, I mean, this is what they do. This is what fascists do. They waste money, and then they say we have none for, you know, people who really need it.
Well, because they're just, you know, they're not working hard. If they was working hard, they'd be all right.
Exactly. And it drives me absolutely crazy that this is what we have to deal with in politics here. When... you know, we have Colorado leading us again in the nation. Did you hear about this?
No.
Some good news. 2016, Colorado will have single payer on the ballot.
Nice. I think it'll be hard for them to accomplish, though, Tom, because the problem with the thing with single payer is it's got to be for everybody or nobody.
Well, here's the thing.
And I don't know. I mean, are there enough people in Colorado to constitute to make it a big enough risk pool?
From what I understand, from what I read, yes, because of how they have the laws set up. The public action, once they get it passed and on the ballot, the public gets more control because of how they have the weird ballot initiatives there. So the public will actually be doing this as opposed to the legislature. And this is more of a public control. And this is what the Republicans are screaming about all the time, right? States' rights, you guys decide. Well, you know what? Ballot access, baby. We got it. And hopefully, you know, Colorado will lead the nation since Vermont didn't.
Well, you know, I'd like to see it become a thing that sweeps the nation. But unfortunately, in the Confederacy, Tom, they're not going to do anything that they aren't forced to do. I mean, that's why the compulsory portion of the compulsory part of the Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid expansion, was compulsory.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also why John Roberts struck it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's frustrating. But then that's the other reason that if it's not Bernie, we need Hillary. Because let's face it, as good as Bill Clinton was staining a blue dress, he did give us Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm of mixed emotions on Bill Clinton, and frankly, his sexuality has nothing to do with it.
I know.
On the other hand, ball batting the poor has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
The expansion of the creation, for all intents and purposes, of the prison industrial complex has a lot to do with it.
Glass-Steagall. Let's not forget Glass-Steagall.
Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, but when you're making deals with the devil, Newt Gingrich, you play fast and dirty to get what you want, and unfortunately, that's what we end up with. You know, but hopefully it'll come around and bite the Republicans in the ass.
You hope, because see, here's the little thought experiment that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
I want Bernie. I'm going to vote for Bernie.
Yes.
In the primary. I'm not interested in a Jim Webb independent campaign, and frankly, Joe Biden's entry into the race wouldn't have made it much difference to me.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't going to vote for him in the primary. I'm voting for Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
But,
no,
but
I hear you.
Look at, consider, and you know, I don't think enough good can be said about the dignity that Elijah Cummings just brought to that otherwise undignified proceeding.
Yeah,
what he said deserves to be, I don't know, carved into marble or something.
That needs an ad for Hillary Clinton, quite frankly.
But in the manner in which Hillary Clinton responded, look at that, and then consider President Huckabee.
Yeah.
Look at that, and then consider President Cruz.
Yes.
Look at that, and then consider President Jebbia,
mm-hmm.
or President Trump, or President Mumblin' Ben. Okay? And in all of those instances, there's nobody there that makes me go, nah, you know what? I'm going to vote for President Cruz.
Yeah.
And that's not because you know, I'm some sort of yellow dog Democrat. I mean, I guess you could call me that. But I don't have any common values with Mike Huckabee or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz. I don't have any values in common.
Don't forget about the white horse.
I don't have any values in common with Jebbia, or with T Rump, who says we'll leave some of the environment and that'll be enough.
It's
so
sad.
And frankly, in a state like West Virginia, where whoever the Republican nominee will probably be the person who wins the race, I'm not going to go and. Hot diggity damn, I'm a-voting for Jill Stein.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect her values. They align with mine. But I've got a pretty good handle on how the political process works in this country, and it is first past the post, and it is winner take all. And there is no circumstance, You know that, Tom, universe of infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters and one of them comes up with Hamlet?
Yes.
Okay, in a universe of infinite Jill Steins running for infinite presidencies, unlike the monkeys writing, one of them writes Hamlet, there ain't no Jill Stein that ever becomes president in that infinite universe.
Yeah.
Sorry, not barking at you.
No, you're right, and that's the problem. We screwed the pooch. Now we need Bernie Sanders. I advocate for him on my show. In fact, I educated the people on socialism who got, when Comcast wasn't crashing around me, who got to listen. You know, it drives me nuts that people can get away with words and scare people, and yet. Capitalism, look around you. What, since Ronald Reagan, what good has capitalism done for you? That's the question Bernie needs to ask. And any Democratic candidate, what good has capitalism done for you?
Well, but Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's not going to ask that question because we're not Denmark.
Yeah. Yet we're number 17 in the happiest index. Denmark.
God, we're that
one.
Far that we're that high up on the list?
Yes.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Number 17.
I would have pegged us for, like, you know, 67.
Well, it's probably skewed. America number one had to have a one somewhere.
I mean, you know, maybe one above Burkina Faso and one below Indonesia.
You know, I mean, it drives me absolutely nuts that we're, you know, my network and yours were the little voices, and yet the liars and the fascists have the biggest voices. You know, we need more honesty and less bullshit at this point. You know, and what Congressman Cummings said it hit the nail on the head with everybody, and I hope that gets out more. Sure
I
as hell
so
won't
too.
Be covered on Fox News, though.
He's talking now. Let's check in with him, Tom.
Sure.
Of the other people who died,
the best possible report we could put together. And he went on and said some other things that were so powerful. And then when I hear the implications of people attacking the report, talking about he wasn't independent, or they weren't independent, it's like an attack against him. And I could say the same thing about Admiral Mullen. And I just want you to tell us about why you picked the folk that you picked. And by the way, it's done by law. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. The law says you're supposed to pick these people.
That's right.
And so why don't you tell us how you picked them? Were you looking for yes people? I mean, what were you looking for?
Well, Congressman, I greatly appreciate your strong words of commendation on behalf of both Ambassador Pickering and Admiral Mullen. You're right. The statute is very clear. The Secretary of State picks four of the five members of the Accountability Review Board. As I said earlier today, there have been 19 Accountability Review Board reports. And I think myself and prior secretaries have been very fortunate that they could call on distinguished Americans with long records of service to perform this very important task. When I was thinking about who has the integrity, the independence, the experience to give us an unvarnished look at what happened, the first person I thought of was Ambassador Tom Pickering. He has, as you rightly say, served our nation for more than four decades. He holds the rank of career ambassador. That's the highest position in the Foreign Service. He served as Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. He served as our U.S. Ambassador to Russia, India, Israel, El Salvador, Nigeria, and Jordan. And he also served as the U.S. Ambassador and Representative to the United Nations, where he led the U.S. effort under the first Bush administration to build a coalition in the U.N. Security Council during and after the first Gulf War. He's a man who had served in high posts and dangerous posts. He understood what was to be expected, and I counted on him in giving me the most comprehensive report possible. I also wanted to find somebody with military experience, because these questions that have been raised about, you know, could we have gotten assets there? What actually happened with the diplomatic security agents? And Admiral Mike Mullen, who had just recently retired as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was again, I thought, the perfect choice to work with Ambassador Pickering. As you know, he was nominated by President George W. Bush to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He served as chief of naval operations. He led NATO's Joint Force Command, U.S. naval forces in Europe, commanded a missile cruiser, a missile destroyer, a tanker. He served in Vietnam and the Persian Gulf. Excuse me.
You need some water, Madam Secretary?
Would you like us to take a 60-second, 2-minute break?
No. Just let me grab a lozenge. So, Congressman, I had the utmost confidence in both of them.
Thank you. Let me say this. You know, this hearing began with the chairman reading a list of questions that he claimed were unanswered. In fact, those questions had been asked and answered many times. As a matter of fact, when we go back to the last questioner, you know, it was Speaker Boehner who, as a matter of fact, last Tuesday, Madam Secretary, Speaker Boehner acknowledged to Fox News the allegation that the U.S. government was involved in an illegal weapons program in Libya has been, and this is according to him, investigated by the House Intelligence Committee and debunked. That's what Speaker Boehner said about this illicit weapons transfer situation. Do you want us to hold up, madam? Okay. And so, going back today, so these questions, again, were many asked and answered. The new documents we obtained and the interviews we conducted don't contradict the conclusions from the previous investigations. They simply confirm them. Even after this marathon grilling, the Select Committee has found no evidence of any nefarious activity on the part of the Secretary. She did not order the military to stand down, and there is still no indication that she approved or denied requests for security in Benghazi. As the day has dragged on, the Select Committee's cost has raised up to $4.8 million. That's taxpayer dollars, by the way. 2 weeks ago, the State Department informed the Select Committee that it has spent $14 million responding to requests relating to Benghazi over the past 3 years. This does not include the costs incurred over the past 3 years by other federal agencies, such as the Department of Defense. In a letter to Congress on March 11, 2014, the Defense Department estimated that the total cost it has expended during previous congressional reviews ran into, quote, the millions of dollars. So that's at least $20 million right there. And that's a conservative estimate because it does not include the cost of the 7 previous investigations by congressional committees. When I think about that amount, $20 million, it pains me to imagine what that money could have done. I don't want anyone to mistake what I'm saying. Of course, we needed to know what happened in Benghazi so we could take action to help prevent it in the future. And I have personally investigated this. We compiled an entire database of information on our website about a year ago. We put together a 133-page compendium. We released a new report this week with the results of 54 interviews. And I want all of those transcripts to be made public to the American people after the appropriate redactions. They ought to be released. I want the American people to see every word, of course, with appropriate redactions, because I don't want anybody accusing me of saying otherwise. But finally, my point is this. Instead of spending this entire $20 million on these 8 investigations, we could have dedicated at least some part of those funds to actually increasing security for our diplomats overseas. Even if it were just a fraction of that amount, I can't help but wonder how many consulates could have been improved, how many embassies could have been better protected, and how many more of our patriotic American diplomats would be safer today. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Madam Secretary, I couldn't help but think when he was using the $20 million figure, that's 2 more ISIS fighters that we could have paid for. I refuse to put a price tag on the lives of 4 Americans. I don't. Your figure of $20 million is wrong, Mr. Cummings, and that's not what the State Department told us. But I don't care what the figure is. There is no price tag when it comes to justice for 4 people who gave their lives for this country. Madam Secretary, with respect to the ARB, I want to ask you this. If you were investigating...
Well, there he goes, Tom, waving the bloody corpse again.
Yeah, there's no price tag on what I can fundraise off of this investigation.
There is no price tag when it comes to having a witch hunt to keep a woman like Hillary Clinton from entering our White House when it is vacated by that one.
Thank you. I just, It drives me nuts. And he's right. And there is a dollar amount that I'd like to spend on Benghazi. Zero. Zero.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there was a time in the House of Representatives when they would go after each other and call each other out onto the field of honor and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nasty little shit weasels like Trey Gowdy that make you wish that was still in vogue.
You're not wrong on that, Bob. Thank you for giving me some of your time, and I'm more than happy to, you know, yield back to you. And Carol can take up the whole night next.
No.
I was happy to be patient for Carol.
there's never a bad night for a conversation with the Empress of Hooterville, and I'm sure she is adjusting her tiara even as we speak.
Yes, yes, and you know I yield the floor back to you, my friend.
All right, take care, Tom.
Bye bye.
Tom from FYINation.com. While Trey Gowdy is a talking about justice for the four Americans killed in Benghazi. Where's the justice for the nine people killed in, his own state? They're not worth a $20 million investigation, because, see, if we had a $20 million investigation into why those nine people died at Mother Emanuel Church, well, you know what had happened? We'd find out that we have a dangerous, nasty little bubbling right-wing insurgency going on in this country, and we can't be having that come out. Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy. Mercy, mercy. By the way, we stand, just because I haven't really mentioned it in a while, 14 minutes ago in the program, we got about $322.62 to raise to get up out of the hole here on this 22nd day of October, not February, 2015. Oh dear, Ferret Face is pointing at things. Let's check back in.
Did any of those previous congressional investigations or the ARB have access to your emails?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, the witness you were referring to did appear before Congress.
That was not my point.
Your implication was that witness was stopped from going to Congress. That did not happen, Mr. Chairman.
No, she definitely came. Yes. No, that was that's not my implication. My implication is the co-chair of what you call an independent accountability review board was calling someone he was supposed to be investigating to say, please don't send that witness to Congress, they're not going to show up well. That's my point. My point is, how can you consider that to be? Have you ever heard of a judge calling the DA or the defense attorney and say,
Mr. Chairman, don't call that witness? I really don't care what you all say about me. It doesn't bother me a bit. I do care a lot about what you're implying about Admiral Mullen, and I will not sit here and hear that.
Well,
Admiral Mullen served this country with great distinction. He served the State Department with great distinction in being the co-chair of the Accountability Review Board, and I think his work speaks for itself.
Well,
and I'm sorry that the important work that was done by that board is held in such low regard by some members of this committee, and I deeply regret it.
Are you doubting that he placed the phone call? Is that the purpose?
I know
of what
nothing about the phone call.
Well, I do, because he testified before another congressional committee. He admits it was a mistake, Madam Secretary. I don't know why you can't.
Well,
he admits it was a mistake to call and say, "Don't send a fact witness before a congressional committee."
Well, I think that
it doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means that when you hold up the ARB as independent and your chief of staff pick.
Look out, Ferret Face. She's going to chew you up and spit you out.
Folks on the ARB, despite the fact that some people think Patrick Kennedy may have also been involved in approving or not approving. If you need to read a note from your lawyer, you're welcome to, Madam Secretary.
No, it's just hard to sit here listening to the comments you're making about someone that I consider to be a great American
if he said he made a mistake, that's even more proof of what a fine gentleman he is and what a great public servant he's been. It doesn't in any way, what you're saying, impugn his service for 40 years and certainly not his service on the Accountability Review Board. I can't help it, Mr. Chairman, that you all don't like the findings of the Accountability Review
Ma'am,
Board.
We had
I can't
two
help
hearings.
It that you don't like
we,
the findings
had,
of all the other
hearings.
Congressional committees.
We had two hearings where we did nothing but discuss the implementation of the ARB findings, Madam Secretary. So with all due respect, we've had more hearings about the ARB findings than we have with you. So don't tell me that we don't care about the ARB. We had two hearings. My point is this. The ARB nor the previous congressional investigations had access to your emails, did they?
I don't know what they had access to. I know that during the time I was at the State Department, there was certainly a great effort to respond to your predecessor, Congressman Issa's inquiries, and many thousands of pages of information was conveyed to the Congress. And I know that the State Department has worked diligently and persistently to try to respond to the many requests that it has received. And I think that given the pressure and stress of business they've been under, they have performed as well as they could. So you will be getting, and in fact the entire world will be getting, all of my emails, because they're all going to be public and you will be able to read them along with everybody else.
Madam Secretary, that actually was not my question. My question was whether or not the previous congressional committees and ARB had access to your emails. That was my question.
90 to 95% of my work-related emails were in the state system. If they wanted to see them, they would certainly have been able to do so.
You know what? That is maybe the 10th time you have cited that figure today.
It is.
And I have not heard anyone other than you ever cite that figure. Who told you that 90 to 95% of your emails were in the State Department system? Who told you that?
We learned that from the State Department in their analysis of the emails that were already on the system. We were trying to help them close some gaps that they had.
Can you provide me with a name? Because when I asked the State Department about 10 days ago, what's the source of that figure, they shrugged their shoulders.
Well, you can look for the state.gov addresses, and they certainly pop up.
And right, and the Inspector General report, Madam Secretary, the Inspector General report, which you can't argue by perfect analogy, but you can certainly extrapolate. The Inspector General report found that less than 1% of State Department emails, record emails, were captured. So they give a number of less than 1%, and you give a number of 90%.
Well, I don't know what you're referring to. I can only speak about my emails, my work-related emails.
Well, let's talk about your work-related emails. We asked for them last year, and the State Department gave us 8. If they had 90% of yours, why did we only get 8?
Well, I don't know initially what you asked for, but I know that they tried to be responsive. 90 to 95% of them were on state.gov. I understand that the committee broadened the scope of their requests, and I think that in response, the State Department has been trying to provide what you have requested. In the meantime, they're going through the process of making all of my emails public.
You think our first request, there were only 8 emails responsive to our first request?
I can't speak to it. I believe your first request was for Benghazi, and I believe that the State Department did a diligent search. Then I believe you expanded it to Libya and weapons and maybe a few other terms, and I believe they conducted
our jurisdiction hasn't grown, Madam Secretary. Our jurisdiction is the same thing it was. Let me ask you this. You say that you turned over everything.
And what is that jurisdiction? To hunt and try to destroy Hillary Clinton. God Almighty. You can't listen to this without thinking to yourself at some point, they want her dead. If she would just do them the kindness of collapsing under this withering interrogation, then they could see, she's guilty. God damn it! Ron in the unfrozen north, noting, Has the phrase Kafkaesque crossed your mind this evening? Only about a million times, Ron. This is the trial. Or is that Camus? No, that's Kafka. And I guess we're going to have to pack up and get out of here. Hopefully we'll have a delightful conversation on Friday on the front porch tomorrow as we celebrate a day early our 10th anniversary. When do they bring out the thumb screws? These are some merciless, vicious fascists. And make no mistake, Trey Gowdy's a fascist. He believes in things that fascists believe in. That kind of makes him one. These are people that will stop at nothing to say, that's all in the world he wants to be able to say, I'm Trey Gowdy and, what's his name, Harold? I'm Harold Gowdy, and that there pelt you see on my wall, that there is the former Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I gotta. Gerald noting, maybe they should just toss her in the river? Throw her into the pond! Yeah. A little bit more and then we'll quit.
Related, or did they not find them?
Well, I don't know why he had emails I didn't, and I don't know why apparently I had emails he didn't. And all I can tell you is that I turned over every work-related email in my possession.
All right, I'm going to make two more observations, and then we're going
to... At some point, does she get to say, hey, dumbass, do you want the baby pics that Chelsea sent me? Is that it?
Everything. That's, for the most part, a direct quote. When you talk to the public, you say, I turned over everything. When you talk to the court, you say, while I do not know what information may be responsive for purposes of this lawsuit, I have directed that all my emails on clintonemail.com in my custody that were or potentially were federal records be provided to the Department of State and on information and belief that was done. Why the different explanation depending on who you're talking to?
Well,
hey, dumbass, you're a lawyer. You know why you use language like that in a legal setting.
The court, I turned over everything.
Well, you know how lawyers are. They use more words, perhaps, than they need.
Trust me, I know that, and they charge you for every one of them.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that, Mr. Chairman, and the clock is ticking.
Well, one more, and I'll pay Mr. Kendall's fee for the last question.
Oh, I don't think you want to do that, Mr. Chairman.
I probably can't do it. You see my point, though. You're very definitive when you're talking to the American people that you turned over everything.
That's right.
But they're those kind of lawyerly fudge words when you're talking to court on information and belief.
Well,
and the reality is, even tonight, you can't.
And he's a lawyer, and he knows what that means.
Because you didn't think you missed the 15.
Well, I didn't have them. I turned over everything I had. Everything I had has
Which
been turned over to the State Department.
Which means the system you had somehow missed those 15.
Well.
Last question on your system. Mr. Cummings said that your email arrangement was inappropriate. I think the president may have said it was a mistake. You have said that it was a mistake. My question to you, Madam Secretary, is was it a mistake for the 4 years that you had that email arrangement? Was it a mistake for the almost 2 years that you kept the public record to yourself, or has it manifest itself as a mistake in just the last 6 months?
Well, since I believed that all of my work-related emails to .gov accounts were being captured and preserved, it wasn't until I was asked to help the State Department to fill in what they saw as some record-keeping gaps, not just with me, but with others. I did the best I could during those 4 years and thought that everything that I was emailing that was work-related was being preserved.
If you can find the source for the 90% to 95%, I would be grateful for it, and we would probably have fewer questions. If there is a source that you can provide that 90% to 95% were,
you know, if they were to reboot the old Perry Mason television series, you'd almost have to cast Ferret Face here as Hamilton Burger. Because remember, the Hamilton Burger character was the prosecutor whose ass Perry Mason handed to him on a silver platter week in and week out because the sucker just wasn't any good. I mean, this guy, he's a lawyer, okay? Gowdy is a lawyer, and he thinks he's quite the noble pleader after all. But God Almighty, if he ever gets off the government teat and goes back into private practice, I wouldn't hire him to write a goddamn deed. This guy's terrible. Well, it's time to get out of here. 9 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you very kindly. We will have a fundraising goal tomorrow evening of $522.62. Thank you very kindly to Texas Tea for kicking in this evening. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, one and all. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.